The chief of one of Australia's biggest energy companies will today call for a national energy policy to help boost investment in batteries, pumped hydro and gas plants. Origin Energy owns Australia's biggest coal-fired power station, but Frank Calabria says the industry desperately needs a strong signal to invest in other technologies, his words, to support our rapid uptake of wind and solar. And he says the government's so-called big stick legislation that has just passed the lower house won't really help bring down power prices. Frank Calabria is the Chief Executive of Origin Energy, and it's my pleasure to welcome you.
Good morning, Geraldine.
You say, very powerful in your speech that you're going to deliver today, industry desperately needs a strong signal to invest. Now, what precisely would encourage industry right now?
Yeah, so you're really focusing on the key issue. Firstly, the energy industry is going through a tremendous transformation, and we see the rise of renewable energy, we see the rise of distributed energy, and those forces are going to continue. We'll also see, I think, a rise of technologies that help customers engage. But the key issue that the market faces right now is, alongside that renewable energy, we need what we call firming generation, and I'm happy to describe that a little further in a moment, to sit alongside. And at the moment, those are decisions that we'd be making that we need to see will withstand, you know, will endure over the next couple of decades. So we actually need a signal that enables us, a price signal that enables us to invest in that. The debate right now, Geraldine, is whether or not the existing market rules will need to change, or there has been some debate, and the ESB under Kerry Schott is also talking about whether we introduce a capacity market. And they need to be worked through in detail. But at the moment, the key thing for us really is that we actually need a firm signal, pricing signal, in order to invest that capital.
Now, that rolls off your tongue.
Yes.
and we
yes.
use it. But what do you really mean there? Because you basically say a market-based mechanism that deals with emissions and reliability, it's not the same as a carbon tax, which
That's right. This is a boo phrase,
which I think you think is bedeviling everything.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So there are a couple of things. At the moment, so yes, I say that rolls off the tongue to people that work within the sector. But what you really need is you need an emissions trajectory, firstly, over time. And within the electricity sector, what would need to be is an emissions intensity type scheme that enables people to understand what emissions will need to be reduced over time. And that would set a price for all of the people investing in generation, not the broader public, to be paying a carbon tax. So that's what we really mean. And the second thing that sits alongside that is that currently there's just a wholesale price that people are trying to invest in. But participants are very much worried about the fact that the rules could change at any time. And so really what we're seeking is that for these new forms of generation, they're going to need another pricing signal that's firm enough for investors
and
to
what
actually...
Do you, and, okay, now, yeah. let's, this firm, this word yeah. firm, what do yeah. you mean by it?
Yeah, well, there are three types of... In fact, it gets a little more complex to it, but just so you understand it, the renewables will come in, and as you know, they can vary quite a bit depending on the wind and the sun. So there are a couple of things, and we've seen through that. Right, if we need a signal that supports technologies like batteries that need to come in instantaneously to support the stability and security of the system. The second thing is that energy is going to move through the day, so it'll need to move. And then over summer, if you have very hot temperatures, you need to actually have supporting generation. So those are all three different types of firming capacity. And the key technologies that underpin it, batteries, they're instantaneous but discharge very quickly. Pumped hydro starts very quickly and can go for hours and sometimes longer in days. Mm. And you also need gas-fired power generation so that if you have got very hot temperatures over weeks and months, that they can run for long periods
so
of time.
You're saying that when you say a price signal, is that what should listeners take from that?
Yeah, sure.
That you know, I mean, are you talking about a subsidy for actually engaging in these sorts of things, or are you?
Yeah. Now, this is where the complexity gets to. There can be two things. If it's developed by a market mechanism, it's likely to be forms of additional revenue streams that support the fact that these plants can be running as when they need it on demand. All the way through, and we see internationally, there have been what they call capacity markets. And there are very different mechanisms to it, but so I want to be very careful. But we've seen markets where there's actually a capacity payment paid for generation to be available on demand, so that reliability is there. Why the industry is a little cautious for that, there are many different of those, is that we have seen examples where, for example, in the UK, those capacity payments have in fact held open coal plants for longer, have encouraged small diesel plants, so they're not achieving the emissions goal. So really what we're looking for is forms of capacity payments and revenue streams that set a signal that enable us to get a return for those investments over time.
So in other words, you're saying that you are interested in both reliability and emissions reduction, which you're assuming the government is interested in as well.
That's right.
But you warn against trying to pick winners.
That's right. Because what we need to be mindful about is that we're actually transitioning from a market that's got a lot of coal-based plant to a market that's going to renewables. And I've just described that there will need to be different technologies that respond to this variable energy world into the future. And therefore, we need to be very careful about mechanisms that, for example, could encourage, coal staying longer in the market when it's not the right technology to actually support the variability of renewables. And so picking winners, we don't think, is the right thing to do.
You say that at the moment the price for firming energy, this sort of, well, I'm calling it stored energy, that's available, instantly available,
that's right.
Is not enough to ensure that what we need to make the system reliable will be built. Now, are you saying that at the moment you're sitting there around boardroom tables, and if you've got to actually sign off on a few billion to build something, you can't justify to your shareholders that you know where you'll be? I don't fully understand that, because quite obviously we're heading in this direction. So what completely is this lack of surety?
Yeah, so if you think it, you're absolutely right. So people are sitting around boardroom tables making a decision as to what's their next investment. Now, just no one actually gets perfect certainty, but think about the decision they're facing. We have Snowy Hydro being built. We've got other investments being underwritten by governments. We're trying to determine how many of those will be built. We're trying to determine whether or not there will be any further carbon reduction signal over time, or an emissions reduction trajectory over time. And remember, these assets will need to endure over decades. Mm. So there is quite a degree of uncertainty. Now, boards never expect certainty, but if you thought about the variability of outcomes associated with that, and the fact that rules are changing, and there has been a propensity for rules to change frequently, it is very difficult to make an investment that sustains over decades.
So the massive Snowy 2.0 pumped hydro, and it could be, you know, five, possibly even 10 years away. Nobody really knows.
That's right.
I would have thought that was going to be a big help in providing that security and stability to the grid. Do you welcome it?
Well, certainly it will provide capacity, and hydro is one of the technologies, and that is one of the ones that we think actually offers the characteristics of being able to respond very fast and to a market that's got lots of wind and solar in it. So yes, I think as a technology, but as to the investment and the cost of that investment and whether that would be built by private participants, that's one of the reasons why I think the government's pursuing it. But it hangs out there as to when will it come in?
Do you mean it's a rival to you? Is that what you're really saying?
Certainly, Snowy has always been a participant in the market and has made investments over time, but certainly it's another form of investment in generation. Yes, by Snowy, they're a competitor in the market.
And that's bothering you? That's what I'm trying to get at.
No, it's not bothering. It's just one of the variables. And if you're then asking us to actually make an investment alongside that, we're having to determine when will that enter the market? When will it be available? And there's also, it goes on top. It's just one of the factors we take into account. But on top of that, we have also a lot of other underwriting of generation going on at the same time.
So just to summarise it for people then, so you would like, particularly you'd like politicians who are sort of listening, what do you want them to take from this?
Yeah, so the key thing right now is that if you have a look at over the last decade, we've called for a pricing signal that encompasses the carbon in that, so an emissions reduction, so that we can invest with confidence over the long term. Over that last decade, we have had a lot of debate, successive politicians that have suffered at the hands of that and not being able to agree to it. And what we've arrived at now is a number of individual actions taken by governments to try and pragmatically solve that in the short term. And they are trying to do that. What we say is, though, that this transformation is significant. It will require an enormous amount of investment as we move from coal to renewables, supported by these other technologies, to a lower emissions future. And that investment is going to require, I believe, the private sector to invest with confidence early, and also so that customers don't wear either reliability or affordability consequences.
So that you know where you are with your return on investment.
Well, it's actually, from our perspective, it's about making a decision with confidence and knowing that you can get that return on investment, but more particularly that you can actually manage the transition without further affordability and reliability issues.
Now, can I just move to gas? Because we're seeing a wave of manufacturers closing down, blaming higher gas prices, which you both generate and sell. Last month, it was the takeaway cup maker Rema Pack in Sydney. Then there was the brick maker in Queensland, Claypay, went to liquidation. Incitec Pivot Chief Executive Gene Johns says the East Coast gas market is dysfunctional and it's much cheaper, say, in the US. Why isn't Origin then doing more to support the domestic market, given how bad things are?
Well, Origin does quite a lot to support the domestic market. For example, it's a 37.5% investor in Australia Pacific LNG, and that provides about, I think, somewhere between 20 and 30% of the gas on the East Coast market, and has continued to do that over the last decade. So Origin is playing its role in making sure supply comes into the market and playing an active role. But you raise a point that's occurred in Australia where there were very high gas prices based on a tightness of supply and demand several years ago. And since that time, the industry has worked to develop further gas. Gas prices have certainly come down from those highs, but remain higher from what they were pre all of the LNG plants coming in. And really, the key solution for gas prices coming down is for further supply to be developed. There is a lead time associated with that. And what we're seeing over recent times is that gas prices continue to fall over the last 12 months. And the key for that to continue to occur is for gas to be produced in greater volumes and developed going forward.
Why couldn't we have a bigger reservation for domestic gas, and rather than you're a big exporter?
Yeah. Well, I think what really governments and policy makers are actually determining right now is how to achieve the balance of encouraging further supply investment. That's the key. And so as a result, we do need the industry to continue to invest in that supply, because that's the only way that I think prices will come down sustainably over time.
All right, Frank Calabria, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you very much, Geraldine.
Frank Calabria is the Chief Executive of Origin Energy at 12 minutes to 8.